Summer of Wisdom, it's all about knowing right and doing right and living right. Knowing right, doing right, and living right. We talked about wisdom being knowing something and then doing that thing. If you just know something, you have great knowledge, you may not have wisdom. Wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying that knowledge. So we want to do right, and in doing so, we want to live right. We want this to be a trajectory of our lives. That's why we're going through this summer series of wisdom. So my family and I, maybe a few weeks ago, you saw a huge pontoon out in the parking lot. Well, that's our old 1992 pontoon, Weir's pontoon with 115 horsepower motor on it, which is great for just running around, for tubing. It's great for jumping off of and kids having a great time. 24 feet long, this thing is a beast. It's huge. And it's heavy. It's pretty heavy. It's really difficult when you're launching this thing and then you go out and we like to do some fishing. And so we're out on the water and the boat launch might seem really calm. But as you go further out to where we want to fish, the wind starts to blow around. And we've got some waves kind of coming onto the pontoon. And sometimes that wind can make me pretty nervous. It makes me nervous when the wind comes up, especially when we're near shore and I'm fishing. Because the problem is that we do have an anchor, and when the anchor's down, we're usually pretty good. But when the anchor comes up, if I don't have everything ready, I'm nervous that this thing is going to go right into shore. I'm nervous about that. Sometimes we anchor, and the wind is so strong that it actually drags that anchor through. So I'm like, what am I going to do? See, I don't want to be pushed into shore, but I also, it's an old vehicle. It's an old pontoon. You ever have an old vehicle, you hope it starts again? Well, my pontoon's a little bit like that, okay? It's done well this year, but other years it's made me wonder, is this thing going to last another year? See, when we're trying to get it back into the trailer, there's also another time where the wind can create a bit of tension in me because, you know, the front end is pretty easy to guide up onto the trailer where it needs to go. But if the wind is pushing the back end, it's really hard to get that beast to come back because there's so much drag. It's so difficult. See, all these concerns happen because of one variable. These concerns about me in our pontoon and our family in the pontoon has to do with one variable, and that variable is the wind. I cannot control the wind. And because of that, I'm concerned that I cannot control the pontoon. Have you ever thought about life kind of being a little bit like that? Maybe you've allowed the winds of culture and of life to push you here and there. Maybe it's always been that way. For example, you're only happy when everybody around you is happy. If they're not happy, then you're unhappy. Maybe you feel secure when you have money in the bank. You have peace when your circumstances are all in the right place. Maybe you feel you've allowed the cultural winds to push you around. Maybe you're stuck in a life of endless scrolling or news programs or online games or pornography or gambling or drugs, alcohol, food. Scripture gives us a solution to these problems in our lives. We're encouraged to ask ourselves, what does wisdom require of me? What does wisdom require of me? Well, first thing we need to do is we need to know right. We need to know the right thing to do. We're going to look into Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to pull this verse apart. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Again, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And here's what it says. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away from it. We must listen very closely to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away from it. You see, this is not an option. There are no options. He's not saying, well, you could this or you could that. He's saying, we must listen carefully. We're encouraged to ask ourselves, what does wisdom require of me? We have to listen to what the Word has to say. What are some things in life that we must do? must listen to this. What else in life do we have to do? Well, some things that I think of, we need to pay taxes. We must eat food. We must drink. We must make money. These are things that are real life, everyday things we must do. For a moment, think of consequences that would happen of us not doing what we ought to do. If we didn't pay our taxes, if we chose not to eat, chose not to drink, if we chose not to make any money, what results would happen? Maybe, honestly, we might get arrested. We might fail in our health. We might live on the streets. We all have two choices when it comes to the things that we must do. We are going to either do them or we're going to choose not to. If we choose to do them, we get the benefits of doing those. And hear it. Or that's why I read it. People themselves, we value a way carefully. It's mostly here right now. Listen, one verse. Shouts along. Come in wisdom to wisdom through carefully. Does that John comes to the Father about who is invested? Are we in the truth? There's the way of Jesus. Really, and Jesus called part of why you effort means of hyper need and if you need is the last consumerism of me in. I ended up putting. I don't remember thinking about really good after another. Pulling you, culture has, and me, Jesus, being pushed by the this word drift, a loose harbor, in life, following the cultures. We are you looking and path to me. Now that we know what's right, we need to do what's right. The second point is we need to do what's right. How do we fall away from Jesus? How do we fall away from Jesus? Usually it's done unintentionally, accidentally. We may not intend to drift away from the truth of Jesus, but we've done nothing to prevent it. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34 says this. I walked by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were all broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. What is he saying? You see, an actively cared for garden will never be overgrown. The way the garden gets out of control is if nothing is done to prevent it. Here's the thing. Living a life of wisdom is difficult. Wisdom is only available through discipline. Nobody likes to deny themselves. We want it, we get it, right? Food. I want food. I'm going to get this food. We want jewelry. We want drinks. We want clothes. If we want it, we get it. Matthew 16:24 says this. If any of you wants to be my follower, Jesus speaking, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. You must deny yourself is another way that the scripture reads. You see, Jesus, the wisdom of God, we learned about that, says that self-denial is the only way to follow Jesus. Saying no to my wants and my desires right now. But will we do it? Will we deny ourselves to follow Jesus? So how do we deny ourselves and anchor against the cultural winds? Here's a couple examples. How do we anchor against hyper-individuality? We must live in community. We must live in community. That means maybe attending church regularly. That could be getting together regularly with others who desire to walk closely with Jesus. Maybe sharing your successes and failures with others. Challenge others to be challenged by others. We need to live this life of community in community. We can't be solo. If you want to anchor yourself against the hyper-individualism of the wind of culture that says it's all about you, that's one way to do it. Second, consumerism. The wind of consumerism. The way to battle against that is delayed gratification. When was the last time you intentionally delayed yourself of something that you could afford right now? You intentionally delayed the ability of getting that thing. What is the next thing you feel the Holy Spirit challenging you to delay in order to stay anchored to Jesus? Remember, that thing won't make you happy because there's another thing right behind it ready to make you discontent. Philippians 4:11 through 13 says this, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again." This is Paul speaking. "I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Sometimes we take that section of scripture out of context. We say it means that I'm scared and so I'm going to go do this thing, or I can succeed at work because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's not what he's saying. The thing that he's saying is that we can succeed in is if you are struggling to figure out how you can be content in your current situation, God can give you the strength to know how to be content in that even crazy situation. It's about contentedness, not about doing everything through Christ. It's about being content through the struggle. If Paul can do it, I think we can. How do we anchor against the winds of the digital distraction? Maybe your digital distraction is your phone or your TV, your computer. So what might God be calling you to deny yourself in order to re-anchor your soul to Jesus when it comes to the digital distraction? Again, it has to do with denying ourselves. And then are you willing to do it? Are you willing to say no to this, even though it might be okay, so that you are able to anchor again in Jesus? We talked about the knowing right. We talked now about the doing right. Thirdly, we need to know how to live right. What would our lives look like if we were to anchor in Jesus rather than being blown around by culture? What would our lives look like? I bet that some of your deepest regrets were due to allowing the winds blow against you rather than being anchored in Jesus. Friends, Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God, it says in 1 Corinthians. Jesus himself is the wisdom and the power of God. How deeply do we seek wisdom from Jesus to keep us from perpetual harm? Hebrews 6:19 says this, "This hope, which is Jesus, is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." Friends, are you trusting in Jesus as your anchor when the wind and waves of culture come against you? Jesus is our anchor. If you want a life worth living, you will anchor your soul to him rather than allowing the winds of culture dictate your next regret. Spiritual drift always ends in spiritual damage. Spiritual drift always ends in spiritual damage. So we have three practical steps to anchoring our souls to Jesus. This one's similar to last week or 2 weeks ago. Number one, 15 minutes to start or stop something. Maybe you need to start praying. Maybe you need to read the Gospels. Maybe do a devotional on the YouVersion app. What are you going to consider starting or stopping your day in order to anchor with Jesus? Second one is a drift check. Where in your life do you allow the winds of culture to cause you to drift? Is it in your hyper-individualism? Is it in consumerism? Is it in your digital distraction? What has culture pushed you toward and then away from Jesus? So drift check is number two. Number three is seeking direction. What is one thing you will do this week to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus? What is the one thing you're willing to do to take up your cross, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus? Friends, I want to encourage you not to do it alone. Do it with somebody in community. A couple final words before we pray and respond in worship. A boat without an anchor doesn't stay put. It goes wherever the wind blows. Right now, the winds of individualism, consumerism, and digital distraction are blowing hard against your life. If you're not intentional about it, you're going to be moving in their direction. This is not wise. That is not wisdom. Spiritual drift always ends in spiritual damage. It is time to fasten the anchor to the anchor of Jesus Christ and face the wind and choose to live right. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. And this is the summer of wisdom. As we continue this summer, we're going to be walking through what does it mean to be living a life of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I thank you for this day. Thank you for your people that desire to live and walk in wisdom. Would you help us to do that, Father? Help us to walk in wisdom. Wisdom is shouting in the streets. Lord, honestly, sometimes we just don't want to listen. Would you give us ears to hear, ears to listen carefully and closely? And then, Lord, give us courage to choose the ways of Jesus, even if it means self-denial. Thank you for this example, Lord, and help us to live according to your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.